27 and 28. There it says, King Agrippa. This is a pretty familiar passage, but as I was studying for this sermon, something that I realized when I was looking at some commentaries and some people that were going through this passage of Scripture was that Agrippa knew something about what Paul was talking about. Even though Agrippa was a Gentile king, he ascribed to Judaism. He ascribed to the beliefs of Judaism, and he knew about the prophets. He knew everything that Paul was talking about. Right here it says it. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest the prophets. So whenever Paul is showing Agrippa this side and he's defending his faith, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Agrippa knows something about what Paul is saying. Because Agrippa knows the prophecies about Jesus Christ to come. He knows the prophecies of the soon coming Messiah, but yet he still decides to reject what Paul has to say. Paul cited the Jewish prophecy fulfilled by Christ. And again, Agrippa understood these prophecies. Kind of what I want to point out to you is Agrippa was not a bad man. Agrippa was not a terrible human being, but Agrippa still didn't believe. Agrippa almost believed, as it said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was right on the edge of salvation, but still backed away. Agrippa kept the commandments because he ascribed to Judaism. Agrippa believed in the law that Paul was talking about. So Agrippa almost believed. He believed just enough to where it was pointless. Just enough where the belief didn't mean anything at all. He kept the commandments, but failed to keep a desire for the truth. He believed in the law, but failed to believe in the very fulfillment of the law. Agrippa had consequences. Agrippa is never again spoken about in Scripture, except for a couple of verses in this chapter, but he's never spoken about again in Scripture, and scholars have tried to figure out what happened to Agrippa, but nobody really knows. But if Agrippa stayed with the decision that he made, his decision had deadly consequences. Agrippa made, this is the title of my sermon, Agrippa made a deadly decision at the doorstep. If you could just raise your hands and pray with me for this sermon. God, I pray that you'd anoint me. I pray that you'd fill me with Holy Ghost power, Lord. I pray that you'd anoint the ears to hear the words that you would have me to say, God. And that somebody tonight that is at their decision point will make a decision and they'll go past the doorstep and they'll go to the door. They'll come to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, what Agrippa failed to recognize was that almost is not enough. Almost ain't it. In shorter words, kind of way I want to get this across to you is that if you went to a doctor and you had cancer or you had a sickly disease and they gave you a medicine that only partly healed you, and they gave you no other option, you would go and find another doctor. Because partly healed from that sickness and partly healed from that disease is not healed at all. Why would you stay with something that's only halfway good, that's only halfway healed? Only part healed would not be enough. There's an analogy that goes around of a cup that's about halfway level of water, And they say if you think it's halfway full, then you're an optimist. And if it's halfway empty, you're more of a pessimistic person. But as I was studying for this sermon, that part kind of came out to me. And something I want to point out to you is it doesn't matter if it's halfway full or halfway empty if it's not full. Because it's not, there's no point. If you keep going halfway, you'll never reach your destination. Brother Gilpin gave us a mathematical thing. I don't know if it's in geometry or algebra, but so if you go from this point to this point, and every time you move in halfway intervals, you never actually reach your destination. That's kind of what I'm pointing out to you tonight. If you live your life for the halfway, you're never going to reach your destination. If all we do is put out half of our effort, then we're never going to fully see or fully reap the fruits of our rewards. There were some decisions made by believers in the Bible that knew halfway was not enough. This first one I'm going to talk to you about is a decision at the doorstep of healing. Naaman, as we all know about Naaman had leprosy. And a prison girl told him about the prophet Elisha and told him that you can go to this man of God and maybe you can get your healing. So he goes to Elisha. Elisha tells him to go dip in the river of Jordan 7 times. But when he gets to him, he tells him that. And Naaman is appalled at this because don't you know the river of Jordan is a dirty place? Don't you know the river of Jordan is somewhere a man like me should not be going to? But as he begins to go down the road, he's just going to go back home because he's done with it. He's fed up with it. His slave or servant gets in his ear and he says, maybe you should go ahead and do it. Maybe you should dip in the river. You see, Naaman decided that he was going to get rid of his obstinance, and he was going to go dip in the river 7 times. So he went down once, he went down 2 times, he finally came up the 7th time, and he was healed. Because he said, almost healed was not enough. Almost or halfway was not enough for his healing. Naaman went all the way. Another decision at the doorstep was a decision at the doorstep of salvation. It has already been mentioned tonight. Ken mentioned it. The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross had every right and every option to mock Jesus just like the man on the other side did. What was the point of him edifying Jesus when he didn't even know that it came with salvation? What was the point? But he still chose not to sit there and mock the Lord because he knew that almost was not enough for his salvation. There is a decision at the doorstep of deliverance. I want to talk about the demoniac at Gadara. Jesus came. The boat landed at Gadara or the area. Yeah. And the demoniac had been cutting himself in the tombs. He'd been screaming, damaging surrounding areas, and they had locked him up with fetters. So this man had went for years and years and years cutting himself and dealing with these demons. But what does the Bible say that he did when Jesus went there? He said he ran to Jesus. He ran straight to the one that could save him because he knew that almost was not enough for his deliverance. There's a decision at the doorstep of baptism with the Holy Ghost. The Ephesus believers, the believers at Ephesus, Paul went and visited them and he asked them if they had been filled with the Holy Ghost since they believed. And they said, whoa, we haven't even heard of any Holy Ghost. We haven't even heard about it. But they chose to receive it anyway. Oh, being saved was not enough for them. They said, we want more. And when they were put with the options of more, they accepted it because almost was not enough for their feeling. We too have to get it that almost is not enough for our victory. There's a story that goes around. It's an illustration told quite a bit, but there's a mountain that gets climbed time and time again throughout the year, and all of these people go up, but a lot of people don't finish the mountain, finish the climb to the peak. It's not because this mountain is a very difficult mountain. It's very possible to get to the top of this mountain. But about halfway up the mountain, there's a safe house, there's a resting house, a little cafe where they can get something to eat, they can get some drink and some rest. But most of the people that climb up this mountain stop there. They go in, they get their rest, they get full, they get a well-needed nap or something like that, but they decide to not go ahead and go to the top because they stopped at the halfway point. Church, we've got to get like this. We've got to stop stopping at the halfway point. As a church, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. The comfort zone is in the halfway. Oh, it's comfortable to go through the motions of a normal church service. It's comfortable just to raise our hands as we always do, or to speed through a service to get to our afternoon nap or our lunch, our Sunday afternoon dinner. That's comfortable to just come to church like it's always been. Raise our hands, go through a song, go through some prayer requests. The sermon is preached, come to the altar, get up, go back home, and nothing's changed. That is comfortable, but that is the almost. It's uncomfortable to go ahead and spend some time in the altars. It's uncomfortable to spend time in the prayer closet and spend time in dedication. It's uncomfortable to worship when we don't feel like it or when everything's been going wrong in that day. It is uncomfortable to do these things. But we must take a step of faith. It's time that the church as a whole, I'm not specifically talking about this church, but if it applies, it applies. It is time that the church rids itself of the Agrippa spirit. It's time we rid ourselves of the almost spirit. Because we've lived too long in the almost. It's spread across the country. Christians, churches everywhere. We go through the motions, service after service, but we never actually get it. I'm done with we almost had revival. We almost prayed through until we had revival. I'm done with sister so-and-so almost got her healing. I'm done with he almost was saved, but he turned away halfway to the altar. I'm done with I almost broke through what I was struggling with, but I went right back to it. I'm done with I almost got filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I could see the stammering of the lips, but I still didn't get filled. I'm done with it. How long do we have to seek the baptism? The believers at Ephesus were filled the very moment they wanted to receive. I'm done with the almost for deliverance. People that are bound by alcohol. People that are bound by pornography. People that are bound by greed. I'm done with almost delivered. Because there is deliverance. Stop dying on your doorstep. I'm done with almost victories and halfway victories. Because I'm going to keep on fighting. Till I see the fillings. I'm gonna keep on fighting till I see the victories and the breakthroughs and the healings because they still are for today. It's time we stop dying in the almost. Come on, don't die on the doorstep of your healing or the doorstep of your salvation. There was an article I read. It was an old couple. They decided one day they were going to get out in their neighborhood and they were going to take a drive. About 20 minutes in this drive, it began to snow. And it began to snow more and more and more to where eventually they were in a blizzard. And they got caught in a snowbank. And they couldn't get out of their vehicle. They couldn't get their vehicle out. So what they decided to do was to get out of their vehicle and trudge back home. They got out of this vehicle. They started walking home. They made a little bit more effort. They made a little bit more effort. But eventually, the snow and the storm became too much for them. And they could not see in front of them. They could not see behind them or around them. They had no idea where they were. But they could have kept walking. But they eventually gave up right where they were. The next morning, first responders came and they found their bodies not even 100 feet from the front door. Come on, that's what I'm preaching about tonight. They were almost at victory. They were almost delivered from that storm, but they gave up at the almost. They gave up at the doorstep. From what were they remembered? They were remembered for their deadly decision at the doorstep. Young person, don't let it be said you died at the doorstep. Don't be remembered for your deadly decision at the doorstep. There's people here tonight that have got some decisions to make. Don't be remembered for the wrong decision. Don't be remembered for almost coming to the altar. Don't let it be said you died on the doorstep. Keep on keeping on. The victory is right around the corner. Just keep going. The healing is right there in front of you. Just keep going. The deliverance is right there. Just keep going. The Holy Ghost is drawing as we speak. The Spirit is pouring out conviction on people in this place that know they aren't living right. And know they've got to make a decision. Because if you keep sitting there, you can backslide on a church pew just as much as you can backslide in a bar room. The enemy would like for you to sit there and backslide and stay in church for 20 years, but still not have it. For you to almost be a Christian. For you to have the form of a Christian and be backslid and be the biggest sinner of us all and nobody know. The enemy doesn't care how you go to hell. He just wants you there. Don't be an almost Christian. If you're gonna die, die trying. If you're gonna die, die fighting to get to the door. It's not about getting to the door. It's about walking through the door. Who is the door? The door is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. And where is He? He is everywhere. He is up at this altar. Jesus Christ is waiting for you to come to Him. Oh yes, He's searching for you, but you gotta do something too. God's not gonna pull you out of your own will and pull you to the altar. God's going to try to persuade you, but He cannot make you come to the altar. Well, He will not make you come to the altar. He's going to try to persuade you. He's going to call for you because you know if you're at the doorstep. You know if you're living in the almost. If God could have my music come. Again, don't die. Don't die at the doorstep. There's a lot of people I know that died on the doorstep. People I grew up with in school. I heard them give sermons, sermonettes. I heard them sing in chapel. I saw them run the aisles. I saw them shout at youth camp. But today, today when they're brought up around some of my other friends, all they're remembered for was their deadly decision at the doorstep. I'm not saying there's no hope for them. I'm not saying that. But you don't have to be remembered for that. You can make the right decision. That elderly couple that was stuck in the snow, they were so close to victory. Right there. But they gave up. Don't give up whenever it's right in front of you. Where is the victory? Like I said, the victory's here at the altar. I'm preaching to a wide array of people tonight. It's not just one particular altar call, so I'm going to split it into fours. First of all, I'm going to make a salvation call. This also applies to backsliders. Jesus has not given up on you. You may have given up on the doorstep, but the Lord has not given up on you. He is right here at this altar, or pray at your seat if you have to. He's there too. But He's not given up on you. You know the gospel. You've grown up in church your whole life. He came and died on a cross to save you from your sins. He's not giving up on you. Don't give up on Him. Don't die on the doorstep. Don't die right before you've got the victory. Right before you've got salvation. Right before you've gained eternal life. Don't die on the doorstep. Next is my deliverance call. I'm calling somebody who is saved, but you've been struggling. A lot of people would say you don't struggle as a sinner or as a Christian, but you do. There's things in your life that nobody knows about. Things you've dealt with for years, but yet you still struggle, struggle, struggle. No matter how many times you come to the altar, you still seem to struggle. But don't give up on the doorstep. Who's to say this isn't the time that God delivers you? I know how it feels to go down to an altar with something, get up, think I'm all right, and the next day I'm right back to it. I know how it feels, but it doesn't have to be that way. I lived out in the almost for years. Stop doing it to yourself. There's deliverance at this altar. It's my healing call. You've been praying for healing for years. I know how that is. I know how it feels when you get to the altar and you pray for your healing. And you just don't quite get it. It just doesn't really happen. And you really get discouraged at this point. But in Scripture, where does it say to stop praying? Is it a sin to keep believing for your healing? No. Because sometimes all it takes is one more trip up to the altar. One more time believing for your healing. Because there is still healing today. No matter what some people may tell you, there's still healing today. Tonight can be the night that you look back and you say, that was the night where I made the decision. That was the night where I decided to keep on praying. Next is my Holy Ghost call. There's people that have been praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost for years. Years, years, years. I know people who prayed for it for 10 years and still not filled with the Holy Ghost. 10, 15 years. I know how it feels to go up to an altar, pray for the Holy Ghost, and you not receiving, and you start to beat up on yourself and think there's something wrong with you. No, no, no. That's not how it is. Maybe this time could be the time where you walk through the doorstep. I'm going to stay up here and I'm going to pray until I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to pray up to a stammering lip. I'm not going to pray until I feel tired. But I'm going to pray until I'm filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because I'm not going to give up on the doorstep. I'm going to go through the door. I'm not going to let it be said that I died. Tonight, you are faced with a decision. A decision at a doorstep. Don't die at the doorstep. You open doors right up here at this altar. This is my general call. I'm sure there's things I haven't addressed. But still, you can take the principle. And don't die at the doorstep. Keep praying. Keep praying, church. Come and pray. Hallelujah.